the break of dawn, come tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be gone, say tonight.
Hope you're having a great Friday afternoon. A lot of football going on. Of course, the provincial playoffs in high school football. The Riders wrap up their regular season tomorrow. Keeping an eye on the UBC Thunderbirds and the Rams. Look like they're just wrapping up at Libel. Went to overtime for UBC and the Rams.
What
and
we got?
Looks like UBC won at 31-29. So that clinches it for the Huskies. The Huskies will be first place no matter what they do tomorrow against Manitoba. Then, of course, Sunday, game day. For the Hilltops and the Thunder. The PFC Championship, of course, the winner will host the Canadian Bowl. And the Coach of the Year in the Prairie Football Conference, Scott McCauley of the Thunder, joins us. First off, Scott, congratulations on a Coach of the Year nod.
Yeah, nice work.
Thanks, guys. It's always like, I kind of hate this award because it really should just be towards the coaching staff. You know, I got a great coaching staff and, more importantly, a great support staff here with the equipment room and the physio and the trainers and the massage and stuff that allows our team to be good. And at the end of the day, if you win games, you get an opportunity to win this award, and that's on the players.
So what would you say to a young coach? You've been doing this for a cup of coffee, Scott. What advice would you give to a young guy coming up or a young woman coming up in the coaching side of the game?
I just enjoy the moment. It goes by pretty fast. You know, I've been here since the head coach since 2013, and you know, like it's seems like it's kind of like yesterday. So just kind of take the time to enjoy everything, and also sometimes, you know, like not installing as much can always be a little bit better.
Scott McCauley joining us, Coach of the Year PFC, getting set for another battle against the Hilltops. These two organizations play a lot in the regular season, play a lot in big games, in the playoffs as well, and PFC championships. You know each other well.
They also like scoring, apparently.
Is it harder to game plan for the Hilltops? I don't think a game plan's ever easy, but with both organizations being so familiar with you and Sarge, you've known each other for a long time. What's it like game planning yet again for the Hilltops?
You know, like I think everybody, like the one thing, like we both know each other like inside and out, I think, and really what it's about each time is just making sure you put your players in situations to be successful and get them proper through your line and get the right sort of schemes in place, and then, you know, make sure the players' mindsets are where they need to be to execute come Sunday. And it's always a real physical battle, and during the game too, you always need to have like one or two things up your sleeve because they'll find answers, and you need to have an answer to their answer.
What's the strength of this Thunder squad this year that you've been a part of building, Scott?
Well, I think the biggest thing with us right now is that we've been able to run the ball, right? That's something that we worked on all offseason and trying to get the right personnel in here as well as to be able to run the rock. And our offensive line has been our strong point, and same with our fullback. They do a great job up front being physical and getting the right angles, and that's kind of been our forte all year.
When you're going up and you're developing this team, flipping over a little bit, having Harnett run around a little bit at quarterback, Mosher still in there. What has led to a little bit of a different look for the Thunder with this, a little bit of a QB rotation?
Yeah, I mean, like when we got like had the opportunity to bring Harnett on board, just gave us another weapon to utilize, right? And so again, like our offense coordinator, Carter Gusway's done a good job, like, you know, utilizing the players that we have. And you know, maybe sometimes you don't try to out-scheme guys, but you try to, like, utilize different formations and different sort of, like, looks and things like that. So having the opportunity to have motion in there is more you're in the pocket type passer and able to, you know, make quick reads. Kind of gives us more of that passing dynamic. And then when you put Jackson in there, also now you get an opportunity to get that extra guy, you know, right in the rock. And especially when people start, like, loading up the box and stuff, it's the one guy that's sort of, like, unaccounted for unless they go cover zero as a quarterback.
What concerns you the most about this matchup this weekend on Sunday against the Hilltops?
Number 10.
Collins.
That guy, I haven't slept in a week. I'm super tired because he's pretty damn good. He can score from anywhere on the field, but they got some other guys too, like number three, like he's playing safety and he's also playing receiver. He's super fast. He's going to give us some issues up the seam. And then, I mean, Sally, from the special team aspect, you know, like you got to kick the ball. And unfortunately, they only got David Collins back there too, and Sally. They're two weapons. And, you know, we don't like putting the ball in number 18's hands because, again, he can score from anywhere on the field. So they have a lot of weapons, and that's what's, you know, makes it difficult to play with them right now.
Yeah, David Collins, of course, we were talking to Sarge about him last week. Sarge kind of went, okay, yeah, a lot of guys are doing the American thing. Let's go out and do it. What do you see from players who are coming up here and going, okay, I'll give this a shot? Like, how quickly are they adapting to, hey, it's a new rules, it's a new country, but it's a wider field for a lot of these playmakers, Scott, to scamper around a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think football is football, and for these guys, it might be a little bit more than just football. Like, it kind of gives them a second opportunity to do something. So, you know, you look at Caleb, who's our left tackle on our team, and also our center, James Lucio. Both of them are kind of done their college careers, right, and they want to have that opportunity to go pro. Well, I play junior football, they can get some eyeballs on them and maybe have that opportunity to be signed or, you know, practice with the Riders and things like that. So sometimes it's an opportunity for them to have that second life of football, and then also the opportunity to travel and live in a different country with a different culture and just have a different experience is kind of cool as well.
Now, we had Kenton on the show, on his life.
Good kid.
You talk about Caleb practicing with the Riders. He's like, wake up, meetings at the Riders, practice with the Riders, eat with the Riders, and then a little bit of then film with the Thunder. And you've done this, though, with different players. Like Stephen Smith last year has done it. Do you see guys like Caleb?
He did complain about some of the film days going a little bit long.
He's like, then every so often the defensive coordinator wants to do some extra film at night after practice and a little later than expected. But what do you see from these players who are getting this opportunity to practice with the Riders and seeing their growth in junior football when they're coming over to practice with you at night?
Well, I think first off, we need to tell Kenton that he needs to suck it up because he's part of the Thunder first. If he ain't doing, if he ain't in film and staying awake, then he won't be on the Rider practice roster. But no, it's, I think it's a huge growth learning opportunity for those guys. And I mean, obviously the football and the coaching, the second to none, they're playing with better athletes. You know, they're definitely like learning from the pro coaches that have all day to dive into things, and so it's a whole new level of like learning the football game. But I also think it's a different for them too to have an opportunity to grow as, like, you know, young men. Like they're playing with men to begin with, but they're also playing, you know, with guys from like different parts of the States and Canada and like other parts of the world and stuff. So it's an opportunity for them to kind of open up their eyes or like of the different cultures and different people that are out there.
Scott, I don't presume to know what your relationship is with Sarge, so some Tom from the Hilltops, but I do get the sense that you're the type of people, both of you, where it would be you're probably on pretty decent terms, right? And I'm curious, if you were to get together after the season and go out and, I don't know, grab a, what would that look like?
Well, it probably would involve beer.
Okay.
And maybe
that seemed
wings.
Like an obvious. Some chicken wings,
and,
okay.
I think it would be full intention to like not be together very long. And but after a few beers, we realized that we're more alike than not. And probably end up, you know, spending a late night talking football and things like that.
Nice. Well, you're two great coaches who've led two great organizations, but talking to the players this season, there's a burr in the saddle of the Thunder from how that season ended last year. You win this when you host the Canadian Bowl. I know you don't want to look too far ahead, but I'm not sure you motivate that way on what happened last year, but does that burr in the saddle still apply to Scott McCauley on the way last year ended?
Yeah, you got me kind of fired up just by listening to that. But, you know, either game, the Hilltops, I'm upset about our first game against them this year. Like, you know, like we had some opportunities to put them away, and we weren't able to. You know, they're able to come back and beat us the very first game this year. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, you know, we got to concentrate on the Hilltops and stuff. And I think that it's such a rivalry. And, you know, like I think this is our fifth PSC championship final game against each other, and both of us have won two since COVID.
Mm-hmm.
They kick their butts all the other years, but you know, it's tied 2-2. This is a tiebreaker, and our guys realize that, and they want to leave a statement and leave a legacy for the future for the Regina Thunder organization.
You're getting ready for the game on the weekend, so I know how busy you are right now, but are you at all engaged following the Jays, Scott?
You know, we were in here, I think they're down by like one run or whatever, and we were just trying to break down film, but we had the game big screen, and then Springer went up there and did what he did, and then next thing you know, everyone's yelling and screaming, and we weren't doing so much film after that, so...
And finally, Scott, I know the last time we were on, we surprised you with a question on the wiener dog races. I will want to bring up a day to everybody. They were able to run the wiener dog races in the semifinal game after they were snowed out.
Goodness.
They had to cancel it because of that snow game, and I'm pretty sure it was Kelly Rempel's idea, as Scott thought when he was last on with us.
There's 47 wiener dogs who would ever thought that. They had $2 hot dogs for sale, and I think they announced that they sold 372. That was quite impressive.
We got the numbers. That's good.
Well,
important numbers.
Well, Scott, best of luck on a
dogs
Sunday.
And
hopefully it's a great crowd. Mosaic Hilltops Thunder as both teams one step away from hosting the Canadian Bowl. Have a blast Sunday.
You betcha. Thank you very much.
That is Scott McCauley, head coach of the Regina Thunder, coach of the year in the PFC. They will host the Hilltops, and again, the winner hosts the Canadian Bowl in 2 weeks' time. More to come on the Green Zone. I'm still looking for your stories. Send them via text, voice to text here on the Green Zone. All you have to do is click the microphone button when you're sending a text.
It's just easy.
Rant in your phone what your favorite memory is. Send
we'll
that audio
seat for
to
you
us.
At Boston Pizza.
We'd love to play it. And reminisce on some Blue Jays moments as we get set for Game 1 of the World Series tonight, which you can hear on these radio stations through the Sportsnet Blue Jays radio network starting at 6 o'clock on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. In 1 week, tickets go on sale for Foo Fighters at Mosaic Stadium, September 15th, 2026. But it is the 31st of October when tickets go on sale for that show. Of course, we're getting ready for the Jays Game 1. Locker is fitted up, ready to go.
Bought my hat today. I didn't have any Jays gear. I don't have a I had a T-shirt, and I don't know what happened to it.
You can custom fit your kids at Extreme Hockey, of course, Hockey and Sport, but they also have...
Okay, so I went in, and they had a couple of different types of hats, but they have World Series hats coming in to
they
Extreme.
They had some, but
they got sold right away.
Quick.
So when I talked to Riley at the counter this morning when I bought my new Jays hat, he said that they have a bunch coming in, and hopefully... He had fingers crossed that they were going to come in today. So if you were looking for Jays gear, I mean, everybody's buying stuff, right, for the World Series. So guys are getting out of stock pretty quickly. But they had a lot of different hats in there, but the World Series ones were supposed to be
delivered
today.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Why did you go with the camo Jays hat?
Well,
are you
because
going
this
hunting?
Is – I don't do the flat top, or what is it called, the snapback hats or whatever with
no,
the
those
flat
are-
rim?
Those are just the
what are they called?
The flat rim.
Yeah, I don't have a head for that.
You have a snapback.
That's the snapback. Okay, what the flat rim thing? I can't wear those, so I need a more fitted hat for my just visiting head.
Yeah,
and this was the only one that worked for my weird shape head.
Riley will always get you set up at Extreme Hockey.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He is a good guy. Derek as well. I was there getting the skate sharpened for the boy for this weekend's hockey.
And you were the one that was like, go to the Extreme. Yeah. They got Jay's stuff. So
when you texted me about a hat, I was literally there and I was like, oh, they got hats right here. I'm walking out the door. Locker's walking in. See you, Locker.
Good timing.
Time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill, the latest in sports. Trey is savage on the mound tonight. Bo Bichette back in the lineup for the Blue Jays. He's playing second base. He's batting cleanup. 6 o'clock is the start time for game number one. It was Canada West matinee action, and UBC Thunderbirds beat Regina in overtime 31-29. That actually clinches first for the Huskies because they have the tiebreaker over the Rams. Rams will fall to 6-2. Huskies play tomorrow against Manitoba. Of course, the Thunder and the Hilltops go Sunday in the PFC Championship at Mosaic Stadium. Riders, BC Lions tomorrow at Mosaic Stadium. 5 o'clock kickoff, the Green Zone pregame show at 3. Your predictions. What do you think, Jays fans? Are they going to win a World Series? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
It is a grand slam for Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
I want it all.
Your Savage wants to get back to work. Got it. Swing and a fly ball to left field. Back goes a Rosarena. She's gone!
Now on it now!
Here comes the 3-2. He got him! For the first time in 32 years, the Toronto Blue Jays are going to the World Series.
And game one is an hour and a half away, 90 minutes from first pitch. Of course, you can hear game one in every single World Series game on these two radio stations, 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
I see what you did there.
Did I do it right?
Say it again.
CJME.
Yeah, I think you got it. Okay. I think the pausing's good. Yeah. I've seen a couple of videos and posts and pictures from people. They're already in Rogers.
Oh, there it's
I couldn't believe how many people are in the stands.
Yeah, it's gonna be packed an hour before the game. People are ready to go. It's the World Series.
It's the World Series. So
first time since 93.
I don't know if I'd be there 90 minutes or 2 hours before the game.
Oh, I would. 100%. Okay. I would. I'd be there. I'd be pacing up and down. I'd probably be 2 hot dogs deep already.
Oh, and I just saw pictures of Vladdy's walk-in outfit. He looked like Eddie Murphy from Delirious.
No, all leather. Wait. I thought he'd be wearing his Austin Matthews jersey again.
No, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. No, he looked good. He looked very confident. There was also another piece that I saw of Vladdy from yesterday's media day.
Yeah.
He was talking about chatting at first base, who he likes to chat with and who he's looking forward to. And I thought this was kind of surprising. He likes chatting at first base with Shohei Ohtani. He's a chatty guy on first, eh?
So wait, hold on. What language are they going to chat with Shohei?
They probably,
really
they
broken
all know better. Because Ohtani is not bad.
Ohtani has the interpreter, a different one than 2 years ago, of course. And then
that
you
guy's
have,
on an island somewhere.
Then you got Vladdy, who he doesn't really need a he used to have an interpreter all the time. Now he's handling the English interviews just in case he doesn't want anything lost in translation a little bit. So
he didn't. I don't think he used his interpreter much during media day. He's getting way more confident with his English.
Absolutely, he is. Absolutely, yeah. He is. Yeah. Once he had to get through it and go, okay, I can do this in English now. Yeah. I can do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was more self-awareness more than anything going, am I saying it right? Now he's going, okay, I've got a command on this thing. But yeah. We'll see. Shohei Ohtani will be the first up against Trey Savage tonight in game number one. We are going to have a watch party on Monday for game three. This is the Boston Pizza Starlight location just off Vic East in Regina. on Monday. You can join us. You can show up. First come, first serve to get in. I don't know if they take reservations. Some do, some don't. But we do have a VIP table to give away with a $100 tab. So you're going to get a $100 gift card when you show up at Boston Pizza if you win the VIP. What we are asking for, your stories, your favorite Blue Jay memories. What we want you to do is record them into your phone. Do it with a voice memo and then send it to us.
Yeah, we get voice text on the text line.
So you can tell us your story with your words like Chris did.
In 2015, my wife and I took our two boys to three games. It was in the heyday of Batista and Encarnacion. We were able to sit in three different sections for each game, once behind the Blue Jays dugout, once overlooking the visitors' bullpen in right field, and once on a third baseline. All great experiences. It was just a great atmosphere to be at. Our kids loved it. They still talk about it and would love to go back one day. I guess the highlight of the trip would have been we saw the Angels twice and the Minnesota Twins once, and the Angels starting pitcher tossed my son his warm-up ball out of the bullpen because we were sitting in the very first row.
Chris, that's a great memory.
Girl, yeah, very cool.
Well, when Justin Blackwell was there, the pitchers,
his boys got,
yeah, I think it was Davis Schneider threw him a ball, one boy a ball, and I forget who the other one was, but it's, hey, get that baseball at a major league game. That's awesome. So what you do, record, just like Chris did, record it in, send it in at 1-877-332-8255, your favorite Blue Jay memories.
You're sticking with your prediction. We're also chatting predictions today for the World Series. You're going,
the closer I get, the more I want to pick the Blue Jays. I don't know what it is. I was like, Dodgers in five. Now I'm like, I don't know. This feels like one of those magical teams, so to speak.
It is, Jamie.
Like we've seen in baseball history where
what
they just.
What have I said at the beginning of each postseason series? What have I said? I said, don't count this team out. Don't count this team out. They're scrappy.
Yeah, I think the Blue Jays have the Dodgers right where they want them. John Schneider talked about this matchup yesterday.
Two best teams left standing, built differently, have different strengths. Man, there's a reason we're here and there's a reason they're there. You know, I think the one thing we cannot do is look over there and say that is Goliath. That is a beatable baseball team that has its flaws and that has its really, really good strengths.
So, Josh, they're not a perfect baseball team.
Yeah.
They're really good, but so are the Blue Jays. Blue Jays aren't a perfect baseball team either. Who is going to expose the weaknesses? That team's going to win this series.
This is going to come down to mistakes again. Every one of these series has come down to mistakes, and almost two, like, you can almost pinpoint moments in a game where the Jays, okay, they won it right there. That was the win, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like that like almost every game through this entire series. The Dodgers have had a bit of a different run because they've kind of steamrolled since they got into the postseason. They're 9-1 so far. But this they've got a lot of rest. I think the Jays have a little bit more momentum on their side from winning that game 7. I never thought it would happen. Everybody I've heard talk about Yesavage being called for game 1. I didn't see that coming. So I think that's a really interesting move.
Well, we talked to Jason Dixon, was on the show earlier, CEO of Baseball Canada, former Major League Baseball pitcher, ended up in the All-Star game in his first full year he was in the All-Star game. We talked to him about it. The Dodgers have never faced him.
Yeah.
How big of an advantage is that? He said it's absolutely an advantage. You don't have the film. You don't have the book. You don't have the just the sight of seeing where his pitches come from because he comes from way over the top.
Over the top.
Rather than kind of to the side on a 45-degree angle. It's coming like 70.
But I heard a pitcher break it down. And how batters try to pick up the ball and what they're looking for when the ball leaves the hand, because Yesavage releases it so high and at a weird angle, not a weird angle, but an unusual angle that it's harder to pick up. So you're not going to get that slider. You're not going to figure out whether or not he's got a fastball or a slider as easily as, and that, you know what, when you're watching him and the success that he's had in these games, it does look like these batters are chasing, right? He's got these guys chasing. So hopefully that lends itself to an advantage to the Blue Jays today.
Luke in Regina sent in a story on his favorite Blue Jays moment.
We were in Toronto for a game, and my buddy's a big baseball fan, recognized Cal Ripken, so asked his buddy to take their picture, and that all goes well, thank you very much, handshakes, and he's like, do you know who that was that took the picture? They're like, nope. Cy Young Award winner David Cohn.
Oh, wow.
Excuse, can you take a picture of us with Cal Ripken, sir?
Yes, click. David Cohn and World Series champion of the Toronto Blue Jays, David Cohn from those 90s Jays. So, Luke, you're into the draw. We'll announce it in the 5 o'clock hour. Of course, somebody will win a VIP table for Monday's watch party with us, Game 3 of the World Series, Boston Pizza, Starlight Drive location in Regina. Vic East is where it is. Right for those with kids, right near Chuck E. Cheese. That's where you'll know it. The old Costco, that parking lot is the location we're going to be in Regina. So send in your favorite Blue Jay memory. 1-877-332-8255. Just make sure you record a little voice memo telling us your story. Text it to us. Your name will be in the draw. We'll draw that in about a half an hour from now as we're getting set for Game 1 of the World Series. Who's going to win the World Series? Who is going to take the Commissioner's Trophy home? Toronto or the Dodgers?
I don't want you switching your pick.
You want me to stick with the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Is this because you're superstitious? Because I've been wrong every series? Have I been right every series?
You've been wrong every series.
I think I'm perfect. I think I am a blessing for the Toronto Blue Jays. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Say I want something else to get me through this. Send me some kind of life.
Hamilton, Ottawa, game of the night, you think? CFO?
Warner? I'm going to say a hard no to that.
Okay. Well, why?
There's football fans out there that don't care about baseball, and that's just fine. But I have a feeling that our game of the night should probably be Game 1 of the World Series featuring the Toronto Blue Jays and the Los Angeles Dodgers.
You can hear that game right here on CJME and CKOM starting at 6 o'clock right at the end of the Green Zone. We'll flip things over to Sportsnet, Blue Jays Radio Network, asking for your predictions. Rod has one on the fan line. Rod, what's your prediction for the World Series?
I got Toronto in 6. I think they got lightning in the bottle. I think they remind me of the 1990 Reds. I was cheering for Oakland in that series. And I'm a Red Sox fan. And so the 2018 team, when we played and beat the Dodgers, they were even saying, oh, I think the National League's a little better, but we beat them in 5. I just like what Toronto's bringing to the table right now. They're all playing together. Clement's hot.
Yeah.
You know, the Savage is looking good. You know, like, I think he'll do well tonight.
Rod, I think you're right. This is a team. And you know, everybody we talk to has been saying the same thing. They're a very likable squad, but that's not just something that everyone's saying. It's an actual fact. This is a real humble group, and they all get along, and they're playing for each other. It's a real team environment happening, a really good culture, and I like that going into a World Series.
Oh, definitely. I think, like you said, every Red Sox fan I know is cheering for Toronto, by the way, right? Yeah, we're on board. Yeah. We're on board. And awesome. I just, like, Don Mattingly and Schneider, I think, and Scherzer, you saw him in the playoffs there. Like, they're all locked in. And as much as I like Mookie and Freddie Freeman, who plays for us in Canada here, we got to love him.
Yeah, Freeman's awesome.
I think they're beatable. Philly had them. They just couldn't hit. They couldn't score. Like, Phillies were close, eh?
So. Well, Rod, we'll see. We got Jonathan next. What's your prediction, Jonathan, for the Jays?
I'm very tossed up with this, but I finally settled with the Blue Jays in 7. And the reason I'm so tossed up is because the Dodgers went through the wild card and the divisional and the champ and the series. And pardon me, they went through everything. They only have one loss throughout this whole thing. So
They're a tough team. I think the Jays would be very, very lucky to get one at home here, Jonathan.
A split at home.
Yeah.
Get one in L.A. at least. Bring it back to Toronto for game 6. 1-877-332-8255. What do you think is going to happen in the World Series? Treya Savage gets the ball tonight. Bo Bichette back in the lineup. Davis Schneider's in the lineup as well.
Lots of righties.
He's in for Lucas, who's a lefty. Bichette. He's in for Barger, who's a lefty. He's in for Connor Falefa, but he's in Barger's spot in cleanup. So you also have that. Straw is in for Barger in right field.
So you're putting Straw on the right. Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So a lot of righties against the lefty, Blake Snell for the
Dodgers. And Springer stays in his DH spot. Right.
The University of Regina Rams did lose to the UBC in overtime today in a matinee. That means the Huskies already know they're in first before their game tomorrow. And as mentioned, CFL, final week of the regular season kicks off tonight. Hamilton against Ottawa. You also have Calgary in Edmonton tomorrow. Of course, the season wraps up in Regina Mosaic Stadium. The BC Lions, the Riders, 5 o'clock kickoff. Green Zone pregame show at 3. Britton Gray will have more on football. See if he's catching Blue Jay fever as a Cubs fan next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.